Series entitled The Witnesses of Christmas. What do those witnesses tell us about ourselves, but also what do those witnesses of the birth of the Christ child tell us about Christ? What do they say to us about our Savior and our Lord? With so many different Christmas traditions, with so many different television shows and specials, sometimes we cloud the truth of the Christmas story. And look, I've experienced that firsthand. I was watching a play that my daughter was in when she was 4 years old, and she was asked to be Mary. So there I am watching my child just days before Christmas with Joseph and herself and all the play, and through the entire play, she kept winking at me. So I thought, this is not, I don't remember this in Matthew or Luke's gospel. But especially when she began to kiss Joseph repeatedly on his cheek. I don't remember that in the story. So we're listening to, what does Scripture say to us about those witnesses? What can we see in their model? But most importantly, what do they tell us about Jesus? So if you're following along in your notes this morning, as we look at Joseph's life, we can mark a whole lot in his life about what he did and how he responded. And by the way, it's how he responded. We don't get a word out of Joseph. That phrase, action speaks louder than words, that's what you get here, is simply response. And so let's look at his responses. What does he do? The first thing that's noted in his life in verse 19 is that he is righteous. Joseph was considered righteous. Now again, people being considered righteous in Scripture are few and far between. But what we're bumping into with these witnesses, that seems to be a prerequisite for God to do a miraculous work through those witnesses. Whether it's Zechariah from last week and being called blameless, or later as you see with Simeon and Anna in Luke's gospel, this is critical for God to be able to do and accomplish his kingdom purposes in our lives. Now, Christmas proves this. God comes to us when we're broken. God comes to us when we're unclean. If you just can use your imagination to guess where Jesus was born, and where he was placed, we understand that. It's all about grace. I was on social media yesterday, and I saw that one of you, matter of fact, somebody in this very room this morning, had posted about what one of their grandchildren had said. That grandmother had asked her grandchild, "Are you on the naughty or the nice list?" And the response was priceless. It doesn't matter, because it's all about Jesus. It's about grace. Look, we've all struggled. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But Christmas reminds us that God himself, the second person of the Trinity, stepped out into our mess. It's all about grace. Don't mishear me. There's nothing you can do to perform so God will finally love you. He, from Ben's prayer this morning, from Genesis 3 on, it's been a pursuit of people who are struggling, people who have fumbled, people who have stumbled. But for God to do a glorious work in our life, there has to be a response of holiness. There has to be a response of righteousness. As we look at the different witnesses of Christmas, we bump into that over and over again. He's marked by righteousness, and then continuing in verse 19, I just get this sense. Don't you get this sense? He's just regular. Joseph's an ordinary guy, and God works through the ordinary. He's got a famous, if you go back through his family line in Matthew, you've got to go back several generations till you get to a name that I recognize. And even though he is a son of David, there's no privilege of that. When they go and finally make sacrifices after Christ's birth, it's the lowest sacrifice, the cheapest one you can make. How could you do that? You know this is of God. This is the son, because we don't have anything. We're just poor rural kids. This is the best we can do. He's just a regular person. I read a commentary this week that says, God took hold of the commonplace to show that there was something infinitely more than the common. I love, by the way, I was sitting in staff meeting this past Tuesday, knowing I was going to preach on Joseph, in my heart wishing that somehow we could sing Joseph's song this morning. Hoping I could do it. I wasn't going to do it, but I was hoping somebody, I wish we could do that. I've had that Michael card in my head. It's probably one of my top five Christmas songs of all time, Paula. And then I look at our bulletin for this week, and there's that story of a man's testimony saying, I'm just a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can it be this baby in my arms resting? This is the Son of God. How can it be that I got chosen? Regular, ordinary, a simple carpenter, and for a life that yields to the Lord. That's typically where God works. Ordinary, regular folks. If you count yourself out, if you've crossed your name out that there's no way God can work through me, I don't have the talent, I don't have this, I don't have that, that's where God typically shows up. It's a great word for us this morning. Also, we see in verse 19, is I guess the word would be responsible. This is a word for dads, for stepdads, especially for Joseph. It's a word for spouses or wives or family, maybe even friendships, of watching Joseph, how he steps up. First to try to, and he has every legal right to put her out, but just to carefully, quietly do that, not understanding all that's going on. He's standing in the gap for what he's confused over. Could she have betrayed me? And yet he's still standing in the gap for his betrothed. And then after hearing the angel's response, he takes it on the chin for his wife. This is the picture that Paul gives to husbands when he talks about marriage in Ephesians 5. You love her more than you love. Look, you lay down your life. You put down your life as Christ loved the church. You do the same. He stands in the gap. It's a great reminder for parents and for friendships to take on that responsibility, to stretch and to sacrifice, to have a prayer life for years, to stand in the gap for children and for friends, not forsaking what we're supposed to do. Similar to righteousness, verse 24, Joseph is responsive. He's given a word and he responds. He does everything he's supposed to do. And before we get to that, by the way, I wonder, and this is, I admit to you this morning, I'm speculating, but I wonder if that's why the angel says Son of David, to encourage him in that, to remind, because he's the only one other than Jesus that has that title in all of the Christmas story. But this reminder again, Son of David, this is who you are. And in that reminder is encouragement enough to follow and to respond. I apologize, I was raised up north, so I work in a hockey reference whenever I can. But if you remember the movie Miracle that was put out a few years ago about the 1980 Olympic team that Disney produced, there's throughout that movie, and we're told in documentaries, throughout that time, the coach was trying to bring this team together because they really came from several colleges, but mostly two colleges that couldn't stand each other, Boston U and then North Dakota. And the coach was from North Dakota, so these teams were, and he would constantly ask him, what's your name, where are you from? And the kids would say, my name is so-and-so, and I'm from Boston University. I play for North Dakota, okay? So in the movie, after they have almost finalized the team, and they're over in Europe playing a subpar team, they tie with this subpar team. And during that game, they're even looking at the girls in the stands and planning to try to date them afterwards. And the coach hears that. So after that game, he says, hey, boys, get back on the ice. So they get back. And some of y'all may have done this in football or after baseball games. You have a poor game, you go back on the field, and we're going to run. And so he began to do these suicide runs, up, down, up, down. And the trainer and the assistant coach are begging him to stop, up, down, up, down, up, down. And at the very end of that, as these boys are completely spent, before he sends them again, one of them says, Mike Ruzioni. That's his name. And the coach immediately asks, who do you play for? Now, Mike played for Boston University. I play for the United States of America. That'll be all, gentlemen. And he walked off the ice. He reminded them, when you step on the ice, this is who you are and this is who you play for. And the team changed, and they did not only what no other team could do, what no other NHL All-Star team could do, and that is beat the Russians. Because they understood who they were. And they played out of that. What the angel, I believe, says to you're a son of David. You're his. And because of that, Joseph can respond in the way he does. And that's what he does, by the way. He gives up the privilege of naming his own son. Zechariah did the same. That was huge in that culture. I give it up. You give me the name, I'll do it. Keeping her pure, I'll do it. Everything he's asked to do, he does because of this great reminder for all of us. You are a child of God. I love this reminder from Max Lucado's book, He Still Moves Stones. It's an imaginary conversation that Joseph is having with God. When Joseph says to God, I'm unaccustomed to such strangeness, God. I'm a carpenter. I make things fit. I square off edges. I follow the plumb line. I measure twice before I cut once. Surprises are not the friend of a builder. I like to know the plan. I like to see the plan before I begin. But this time, I am not the builder, am I? I am the tool. I am a hammer in your grip, a chisel in your hands. This project is yours. It is not mine. Responsive to whatever the Father calls, because he's a son of David, because we are children of God. Whatever he's called us to do, we do. And that's that last point in verse 24. We just underestimate and forget about the risk this was for Joseph. We reminded ourselves of that with Mary, but Joseph is a risk taker. To say yes to Mary, to say yes to God's plan, probably means, and I think we see that Christmas morning, probably means he's taking it on the chin from his family. I bet some of you have had to do that for the gospel. You've taken it on the chin because of your faith in Jesus Christ, because you live for Christ, because you, whatever that may be. I bet he took it on the chin with all the people he worshiped with in a tight-knit Jewish community of just a couple hundred people in Nazareth. Oh, I bet he was scorned. I bet he took a hit in his wallet. He also took a hit standing up for his betrothed. Joseph is a risk taker. He will take Christ on his own terms, no matter the cost. Did any of y'all see this week on the news or in social media the fight that broke out at the children's play this year at the nativity scene? Anybody see that? There was a 3-year-old girl. I don't know if she was playing Mary or she was a shepherd, but there she was at the nativity, and they were singing and having that play, and in the middle of it, she just comes up to Jesus in the manger, takes him out of the manger and holds him and begins singing the song. Well, there were gasps in the crowd. How could this happen? Jesus is supposed to be in the manger. This little girl's taking it out, and a couple of the kids felt uncomfortable. Eventually, it became a professional wrestling match as one of the angels or somebody else came over, another girl, and they were wrestling over Jesus, trying to get him back in the manger. Didn't happen. That girl wasn't having it. She was holding on to Jesus. She was not putting him back. That's the temptation that can come to us, to put him back in the manger and at the end of the season put him back in the attic, and Jesus will not be tamed. He just won't. Jesus will not let us be comfortable. Jesus will always push. Jesus will always be with us. That's the great truth we prayed this morning. He's always with us, but he's not tameable. And that's really one of the two things that we learn from Joseph's life Jesus's testimony. From Joseph is we learn that Christ is daring. He's not comfortable. Jesus is daring. I love the book, again, I've recommended it to you once before, Philip Yancey, The Jesus I Never Knew. And when he talks about Christ's birth, he talks about, definitely you see his humility in his birth. The King of all kings being put into a feeding trough, coming to these two rural, poor teenage kids. And the fact that not only that do we see his humility, we see his approachability. That the glorious God of all would come to us, would yield to approach us in this way. But also in that chapter on Christmas, Philip Yancey talks about the courage of Jesus. the daring nature of Jesus to risk to come to us. G.K. Chesterton says, "Alone of all the creeds, Christianity has added courage to the virtues of the Creator." A man backed into a corner is a dangerous thing. I don't care if he's righteous or not, which Joseph was. Joseph's backed into a corner with the world against him, and Jesus says, "I'm trusting myself to him." There's nobody there like there would have been at John the Baptist's birth. They're all alone. Jesus says, "I'm trusting myself to these two parents." And then we see within 2 years, Jesus is a refugee. And yet Jesus says, "I'm coming." This is the first Advent. These people are in darkness, and I will not stay. I will come to where they are. It's a beautiful reminder of the risk and the daring nature of our Savior because of his for us. Okay. And lastly, and this is in verse 20, Joseph understands, and his testimony that he will not let us miss, as the song said this morning, "This is not of my flesh." Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Jesus Christ is not only of God, but Jesus Christ is God. This one who is struggling, as I said a few weeks ago, this one who is struggling to work, never before used lungs, is God himself, the second person of the Holy Trinity. Come for us. Larry King was asked, CNN, former CNN journalist Larry King was asked, if you could interview anybody, who would you interview? And he said, "Jesus." What would be the question you would ask? And he said, the one question would be, "Are you virgin born?" The answer to that answers everything. All of history rests on that question. Is he from God and is he God? So that's why we shared in the Nicene Creed this morning, to remind ourselves, not only has Jesus, as we saw in Mary's story, just, he's entered into our stuff. He knows our struggles. He knows our emotions. He knows our weaknesses. He knows the brokenness of family and relationships. Even his brothers don't believe in him. He knows our stuff. But the Nicene Creed and the scriptures and Joseph's testimony reminds us as well, the one who entered flesh, who became incarnate, is God himself, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made. That is how loved we are. Not only does he know our stuff, but he himself, God descended and became one of us so that he might live that life perfectly for us and give that life away. How's it this morning we need to respond to Joseph's model for us? To always be ready, not just with words, but you see in Joseph's life, a life of response. How is it with our families and our friends? We need to stand in the gap. How is it we need to risk for the gospel? Where is the Spirit pushing you on that? How does our worship need to deepen as we are reminded again of this wonderful testimony from Joseph? God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son at Christmas. Let's pray for that. Father, we thank you for this word, for what it reminds us again, that you will come and work through your regular people to do glorious things. Help us to be open to your Holy Spirit to respond to this, your word, and in whatever ways you're leading us. Father, most importantly, we just bow our hearts before you for your goodness to us and gifting us your son. I pray for tonight and for tomorrow with our families, with our friends, that we would know again for sure that your son is the Christ, and that we are loved by him so much that he came for us. Bless now our response to this, your word, and it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. There's a song in the